Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody comes out of the womb, you know, a hip-hop guru or a goth. Everybody that comes out of the womb as Adam. With the original nature designed, intended for them by God, and it's all normal and natural. I mean, you can look at some baby pictures, get mine, yours, whoever, but particularly in the one that they go in the wrong direction. Get the baby pictures. Then you get the baby picture, and you see the baby comes out. You know, normal baby, happy, giggly, laughy. Then let it get a little older, then see some pictures there. Then see the pictures when they get a little older, and especially in the hood. Then find that high school picture. And what you see? The mugshot. But the mugshot, but it was just high school graduation. It was a mugshot. What happened? What happened? Earth, wind, and fire told us that. Child is born with a heart of gold. Way of the world make his heart turn cold. That's a sign. Some mothers have to know who Asphalt has to have to leave. They were born on the right nature. They had a good nature. They had a motivation. They had a goodness. They had a kindness. They had a love. They had a spirit in them that was a spirit from God. But something in the world took that from them. Now every other word out of their mouth is, these are what I'm talking about. I'm bored. Why are you bored? Change that word. I have no meaningful purpose in my life. Ain't nothing to do. What do you mean ain't nothing to do? It's only nothing to do because you have no mission in life. Now that flashes back to the parents, because that hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that you're born on the fitrah, he said, but then your parents make you Jew, Christian, Magian, and otherwise. Now, while the references are religious right there, but it's the parenting that has everything to do with this child going off track, being off track. Because the parents are the ones who are first responsible to make sure that the environment and the circumstances and the education and the mental ability and all those things are given to the child. And when the parent fails, then the child cannot succeed. And it's not just the parent's fault. It goes back further to and broader to the community. Huh? That African saying, it takes a whole village to raise one child. Well, if the village is not in order, and the individuals in the village are not in order, and the village is not on a mission, and the individuals in the village are not on a mission, why should we be surprised when the children aren't on a mission? At least not our mission. They might be on Ludacris' mission or somebody else, or Snoop Dogg's mission. But what about God's mission? So we have a collective responsibility to know what the mission of God is. So Adam is not just an individual. This Khalifa al-Ard, this Adam represents the collective body of human beings. So it's our nature and our spirit to be mission-oriented. Quran says that to each is a goal to which he is turning. So strive as in a race towards all that is good. A critical point I want to leave with you, I want you to take with you today, very important. When he said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ, and that we're born on fitrah, understand that that means that we are mission-oriented by nature. Adam was born with a mission. Adam was born with a mission to keep the way of the garden. He was born with a mission. His failure is what took him out of that state. Being taken out of that state, it's a story about how we must restore ourselves to our original intent, purpose, and responsibility. That young man needs some help right there. Okay. How to be restored to that natural intent, purpose, and that's what Al-Islam is about. Al-Islam is about putting us back on the original mission that Adam was on. Okay? And it's a longer story to talk about what that garden is. But let me say briefly, the first garden is yourself. The first garden is yourself. Self-cultivation is the first garden that has to be cultivated. And the Adam is that consciousness of your mission from God. And when you're conscious of your mission from God, you're on the mission that Adam was created for. And when you practice self-cultivation, which simply means, the shortest version is, practice the five pillars of Al-Islam. When you practice the five pillars of Al-Islam, you are at that point gardening your own self, your own soul. And when you cultivate your own soul by the practice of Al-Islam, then you begin to flourish in the capacities that are innate in your human, natural human inner creation, and you'll find powers in yourself that were not present before you began that practice, because without that practice, you don't cultivate those powers. When you cultivate those powers, then those powers begin to manifest in your life, and you find yourself capable of managing a whole lot more in your life than you're able to manage without the benefit of the practice of those principles. That's life, brother and sister. That's life. I got a message, had a conversation yesterday, and I was told that there's a person who helps you lose weight. But one of the things they do, they come into your house and take all the food out your house. You know how we deal with that pork when we first became Muslim. Yeah, all you did, didn't you? Yeah, all that ham and all that bacon and all them pork chops and all that, you know, them leftover chitlins. You say, hey, gotta go. Well, this person come in, clear out the whole everything, and then bring in a whole new diet and a whole new system of eating, cook the food for you, et cetera, et cetera. You just got to get rid of everything that you used to do and start doing things all new. Well, that's an example of what really has to happen in Al-Islam. We sometimes are not aware of how many things we continue to carry over from our life before Islam, thinking that it's all right. Thinking that Islam has nothing to say about that, and I don't have any reason to change, and all I got to do is just paint over the who I am right now with a kufi and a scarf, and I'm down. That's right. It's not true. So our mission from life is in us. There's a mission in you. There's a mission in me. There's a full-blown mission. I know you can think of Mother Teresa, you can think of Jimmy Carter, you can think of Nelson Mandela, you can think of Malcolm El-Haj Malik Shabazz, you can think of Martin Luther King, you can think of Elijah Muhammad, you can think of W.D. Muhammad, you can think of anybody you want, Dalai Lama, you can think of anybody you want to think of. What you are seeing when you see that person, you are seeing someone who is living or has lived out their mission in life. And we know them because they have been on that mission, and the mission evolving and bubbling out of their life touched us. And I was touched by the mission of Malcolm. I was touched by the mission of Elijah Muhammad. I was touched by the mission of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And you've been touched by El-Haj Malik Shabazz. You've been touched by whoever, Mother Teresa, Dalai Lama, whoever has been on a mission. You got to ask yourself, what's my mission? What did God put me here to do? What's the true meaning of my life? Why do I wake up in the morning? Who am I helping? Who does it make a difference that I live or die right now? Am I on God's mission? What mission am I on? What am I thinking about doing as soon as Juma is over? What am I about? What am I going to do? Who am I be looking for? Because the dignity of the seeker is in the object of their search. What you going to be looking for when Juma is over? Maybe that'll give you some sense as to whether you're on your mission or whether you're on God's mission. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار والحمد لله رب العالمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I want to say for us as a collective body that the mission for us as Muslims is Ummah. Our mission is Ummah. It's beautiful when our children come with us to Jummah. It's only there that they can learn what the etiquette is for us. So, alhamdulillah. So, we just want to make everybody comfortable. It's okay. That is fitrah. That's the original nature. They're still close to that original nature.
Alhamdulillah, Jumu'ah Mubarak, we are about to begin, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? We're still here, just loading up. Wow.
Assalamu alaikum.
Hayya 'ala
الله حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر لا إله
لا إله محمد رسول الله الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وجمعة مبارك الحمد لله. The blessed day of Juma, the great, great, and wonderful day. Amma ba'd, wa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. وَالنَّفْسُ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, today we continue with the topic, greater topic, coherence, subtopic, the science in Islamic unity. Subtopic to the subtopic, continuing because of what happened in Boston last week, mashallah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We cut off a little more from the subject originally intended because of the atmosphere. You just simply had to address that much of it. And I have a little more to just simply say where I'm going to direct you to, because I'm not intending to go in that. I'm really, really not intending to go into it today. However, under that is get over yourself and you'll be bigger. That's the subtopic to the subtopic to the topic. Get over yourself and you'll be bigger. And we touched on a part of it in the second portion of the khutbah last week. Inshallah, we're going to go on with it. What I will say, two things. Some of you know, some of you don't know, because, you know, I'm really not trying to. And maybe for some of you, well, I hear you once a week, that's enough. But I have six blog talk programs, six broadcasts, 2 hours each, every week, all right? 2 hours on Saturday, 2 hours on Sunday, 2 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Tuesday, 2 hours on Wednesday. How many is that? I don't know. I stopped counting. It don't matter. So it's like, well, let's go. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday is the only day that I don't have a broadcast. So it is six there. And so if you want that schedule, you got to go to clearunderstanding.net. The one on Monday is the same numbers for all the others, but the Monday is from 4:30 to 6:30, and it's a clear understanding of wealth creation. You need to check in on that, bro. A clear understanding of wealth creation, and so that's not on the original schedule that we have. I'm saying all that to say this. The Saturday broadcast, because I'm about to go somewhere else, the Saturday broadcast, we focus on universal dimensions of leadership. And because of what has happened in Boston and because of the atmosphere, this is not a new atmosphere. This has been going on for decades, and not just since 2001. It's an end game. I'm still bridling myself. But there's this piece. Find it online. It's called The Muslim Menace Complete. The Muslim Menace is Complete. Okay? And it's a research paper that's done that follows the whole history and strategy of creating Muslims as the boogeyman. I'm just abbreviating, right? So the Saturday broadcast where I'm going to spend all the time, inshallah, as long as it takes, you know, until Allah changes my heart, spirit, mind, whatever, satisfies us. We're going to deal with that on the Saturday broadcast, which is from 8 to 10 Pacific time, 8 to 10 Pacific time. So if you go to clearunderstanding.net, you can just click on the blog talk banner. You'll get all the time schedule. You get the way to call in, or you can do it online. And that's going to be the subject. So all your Boston concerns, all your the Boston issues, all that, see me on blog talk on Saturday from 8 to 10 on that. But I mentioned the research report because I'm going to use that as the basis of the conversation. As the basis of what we talk about, because it's very important for us to understand that life is a series of repetitive events linked by a chain of recurrent relations. What's happening now has happened before, but it happened to other folks. It's your turn, Muslims. And you need to know how to be at a time. And you need to know the trajectory. So much for that. One of the lessons from that, however, and that I'm taking, and the reason I'm pushing forward on this is because the answer for Muslims is to be Muslims. Listen, Muslims. What are we going to do? What about this? Be a Muslim. Let me think about Sister Jamila's song, Jamila McCare, be a Muslim every day in all you do and say. And always live for righteousness. Al-Islam is the way. Huh? I got to make sure to put that on my blog program so I can load up and play. That was our children's song, yeah, but it's an adult song, too. So that's our answer. Now, what's the problem? The problem is that many Muslims don't really understand what it really means to really be a Muslim. We have our ideas about what's being a Muslim, and some of those are imported ideas, distorted ideas. As a consequence, what's being presented and represented and behavior following on that misperception is distorting the world's image of Al-Islam, and also providing fodder for those who hate you anyway to justify what they want to do to you anyway. So it's the answer for a Muslim. The answer for a Muslim is be a Muslim. Be a real Muslim. That answers it. You don't have to reply to anybody if you just be a Muslim. So therefore, this whole idea of the underlying this coherence is to get to a greater and a deeper and more profound understanding of the science inside of our religion. Because so often we've been pointed to faith as the destiny. Faith is not the destiny. Faith is the condition. Faith is the precondition to be able to do what you're supposed to do as a Muslim. When you have the faith right in Al-Islam, then you can do what Al-Islam invites you to do. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ Let there arise out of you an ummah, a band of people, Yusuf Ali translates it, enjoining, calling to all that is good, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong. That covers everything. That covers everything. Okay? And all the other sciences that go along with that. But today I've decided to, let's just spend a little time with just those four verses that I read. One nafs and one ma'asawaiha, by the soul and the proportionate order given to it. This soul right here, what is it talking about? Well, it depends on how you're looking at it. I want you to understand, and I want you to take a double view of it. It's two. It's speaking about two. There's the universal soul and there's the particular soul. I'm going to start talking about the universal soul. God says, "Ya ayyuhan nas, taqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida." Oh, human beings, oh social creature, be regardful of your guardian evolver who created you min nafsin wahida. Created you from a single spiritual entity. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا And created from it its mate. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا And created from the two of them. رِجَالٍ كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً Countless men and women. All right? When we look in this room, we see men and women. You look out in the world, you see men and women. So that seemed to be on that third level that God is talking about in that verse, which is the first verse of the fourth surah of the Quran, nafsun wahida wa zawjaha, its mate, and then countless men and women from them. Okay? So we are, let's call it, we're at that third level. Our bodily existence is at that third level of something that happened after the mating. What I want you to understand is that nafsun wahida is a universal soul that is total in its creation, total in its existence, total in its potential, total in everything,
from the time Allah created it, from the time Allah declared it. Allah declared it kun, fayakun, and it be, and it is. So this soul is a universal soul, but there's also a particular soul, all right? And what is the particular soul? The particular soul is your and my participation in that universal soul. The picture I like to use, and use your imagination now. Use your imagination. Imagine that there was a net. Now, when I say a net, I mean a net. Let's use a, well, since basketball is in the air, I'm going to keep saying it. A basketball net, but lay it out flat. Lay it out flat. And imagine it was just big enough to cover this whole room. That net was big enough. Laid out square, the same shape as this room here. And so let's imagine that it's on the ceiling, but it's just that white net with the little knots in it and everything. All right, well, now let's lower that net down, and each knot lands on top of our head, right? So there's a knot on your head, a knot on my head, a knot on his head, a knot on her head. So everybody has this knot. So we're there, and every knot is associated with a person, and every knot is linked to every other knot by virtue of being a part of that net. Okay? So you see, all the knots are part of one net, right? How many nets are there? There's only one net. There's one net. But each one has a place in that net. That's why I'm trying to get you to understand nafsun wahida. The universal soul is the net. The particular soul is the knot. And you and I are a knot, a node, a connection in the universal soul. Now, let's take a step back. It says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا by the soul and سَوَاهَا. Now, سَوَاهَا, the Yusuf Ali translates it, the proportion in order given to it, just dealing with it from a concrete perspective and relative to balance. You talk about سَوَاهَا, you're talking about balance. So it's looking at it in a very concrete way. But don't just look at it in a concrete way. You have to learn how to look at things in abstract ways if you really want to understand what God is revealing. Because God is not revealing the concrete, Allah is revealing the abstract. The abstract is where the truth is, okay? The abstract is where the guidance is, okay? So, sawaha also means place within the system. When Allah says, in one of the traditional verses of the Prophet, we often recite, and we often do here, سَبِّحْ اسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَالَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Khalaqa, form. Sawa, place within the system. Qaddara, potential to evolve from simple to complex. Hada, place within the guidance of God. So siwa and nafsin wa ma siwaha, they're the same word. They're the same word from the same root, but it has multiple meanings. So the one that we want us to understand in order to get a better understanding of our own self, which is the English word for nafs, of our own self, English word, soul, is a translation of it as well, is this, and that is the soul speaking universally, the net, remember, universally. It has a place within the system. All right. What is the system? Well, nothing but matter. By the soul and its place within the system. This universal soul that I'm talking about, what is its place within the system, and what is the system? The system is the nature of reality that we live in. Do you understand that we live in a reality that has been created by God? It is not God. It is separate and apart from God. It is the creation of God. Everything that exists is the creation of God. And that is the system. That is the system. What everything? Everything. Yeah. And we drew the picture when we were dealing with those 18 cycles through intentional creation. We showed you the four basic layers, that the way that you can see it. There's Allah who is separate and apart from everything. Allah is separate. Allah, Hussamah, the unique, the absolute, the one who is beyond your ability to conceive. Oh, I saw God last night. No, you didn't. No, you can't even think about seeing God. You know what I'm saying? So anything. So what is this? Allah that's separate from all of his creation. Yes, he's separate from all of his creation. Okay? But there is Allah's will, which we have to learn how to personify. Because you say, what is a Muslim? You say a Muslim is one who submits himself to the will of Allah. Okay, well, then you are the will of Allah. The will of Allah. In Arabic, you call it a nizbah, an idafa. You call it an idafa. Idafa is a possessive construct phrase. What does that mean? That means that one term belongs to the other term. One term belongs. Rasulullah. Rasulullah. Who belongs to who? Does Allah belong to the Rasul or does Rasul belong to Allah? The Rasul belongs to Allah. So if Allah says the will, if it says the will of Allah, okay, is there a difference between Allah and his will? You have to drive yourself crazy to say no. You have to say, no, it's all the same. Okay, we work with that. But those of you who want to keep on moving down the road, here it is. The will of Allah is separate. And the will of Allah manifests. It does work for Allah in the material creation. Do you understand that everything that is working in the creation is the will of Allah at work? Why do you say mashallah then? Why do you say inshallah? You say inshallah if it be the will of Allah. Mashallah, it is as Allah has allowed it to be, or it is the will of Allah. So the will of Allah carries out God's intentions. Where's the first manifestation of the will of Allah? Where do you first see the will of Allah at work in the nature of creation as it is? In the laws of creation. The laws of creation. What are the laws of creation? They are the legislated intention of God. What God intends, we call them the laws that have been, that are part of the nature of creation. Qadr is another term. Qadr is another term for it. So now you have, so far we have three. You have Allah, you have his will, and you have the laws and principles operating in creation, and then you have the material creation itself that show the work of the material creation, that show the work of the will of Allah. I'm looking for, somebody give me a pen out your pocket. You got a pen in your pocket, anybody? That's a businessman right there. You got it. Oh, man. You prove my point, but I have to do it myself. Now, if I let this pen go, what's going to happen? Now, if I had a little magic trick, I'd let it go and let it float. But then that would be operating according to a law, too. You just wouldn't know what law is operating on. It would have to, I would have to know the law and then use that law in order to get it to perform and effect in that way. Okay, but I would still be using the law. You just wouldn't know what law I was using. Right? All right, but if I let this go, then we know it's going to drop. Why? Because that's the quote-unquote law. Who designed that? Who intended that to be that way? Allah. Allah. The earth has its quote-unquote gravity and every material thing. Heads up, bro. All right, you got it. The earth and everything, and so there are laws that interpenetrate the entire creation. The entire creation is governed and affected by law. Who designed it? Who legislated it? Allah legislated it. So when I see water doing what water does, is water doing that by its own intention? Is water doing it by its own will, by its own desire? No, water is doing that according to the will of God, according to the law for that thing. That's why it is behaving that way. Okay? So here we have Allah, we have his will, we have the law, we have the material creation. The material creation acting and operating under those laws. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created nafsun wahida before you and I existed. In that reading of the Quran, you see, well, nafsun, it says, ya hiya nafsun taqurrabakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsun wahida. So we come from something else. We come from something else. But we all all come from that something else. So what does it say? We all came out of that same soul. All right, let's go back to the universe. One of the earlier things that we mentioned, right? Says, do not the unbelievers see that the heavens and the earth were all together as one and then be clothed with a thunder? They call it the Big Bang Theory. So even though people have these theories about multiverses and multi-universes, we don't even have that conversation. Because wherever they are part of one totality. You can call them multiple universes, but that's an oxymoron, really. Multiple universes. There are a lot of ones. No, they're all a part of one unit, no matter what you're going to call it. Huh? But we're not going to go that far. Listen, so the point is that everything in creation is still a part of that original matter from which everything exists. Everything that exists now is still a part of that original creation. It's not brand new. It's all about the same stuff. All right? Well, apply that to Nafsun Wahida. You and I are from one original soul. You and I are a part of one original soul. That one original soul exists, and it is indeed bigger than all of us. It's bigger than all of us. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, he says that the soul is bigger than the space that the body occupies. Do you think your soul is only in your structure? Imam Muhammad said, indeed, he said, your soul is wherever you have concerns. Huh? Your child not with you right now? Is your concern with your child? Then a part of your soul is with that child. Okay? Okay, so then if it is true that our soul is bigger than the space that our body occupies, so then if we added all of us together just as bodies, would there be more representation of soul, or would there be more representation of physical body? There'd be more representation of soul. Just do it, simple math. Okay, that's the nature of the soul. The soul is bigger than all of us. The universal soul that we participate in is bigger than all of us, but we all participate in that universal soul. This is my whining and crying and sweating and fretting and continuing to burden you with multiple topics. Is because, listen, you are so great and you have so much access to so much greatness, but that if you would just believe it, if you just know it and believe it and access it, you'd be like, man, you wouldn't have anything to complain about. Wallahi, wallahi, you know, I always got a little bitty chest story, because I'm going to do it till I get it right. So I got this little chess tactics, right? So I got to go practice, right? I go practice, so the computer runs these simulations, whatever you want to call them. And they give you a situation where you got to make two moves. And there's many, many moves that you can make, but if you don't get the two moves right, then wrong. If you make the first move wrong, they say, sorry, try again. But you know you only got one more shot, right? And if you blew it, they say, sorry, you failed that time. Do you want to review the problem? Or you can keep doing it till you get it right. So they're starting to get complex. They set them up according to the certain rating, certain ranking, whatever. Some are very high, some very low. And some of them, you look at it and say, so complicated. So I heard myself, listen to myself, right? Heard myself saying yesterday, I don't see it. And then I stopped and listened to myself talking. And I say, hey, talking to myself. Stop saying you don't see it and stop saying you do see it. And I didn't even give myself a chance to check in to say, but what if you really don't see it? I didn't even give myself the chance to say that. I just told myself, stop saying you don't see it and say you see it. And so when I dismissed that, I don't see it, I saw it. I'm telling you, it was just simple as saying, stop that negative self-talk. Do you understand that you have something like 70 or 80 thoughts per day? And 80% of them are wrong or negative. That's the statistic. But what is the critical thing in saying, stop saying that you don't see it. Because when you accept the fact that the way you think directs your power, that's what directs your power. Listen, yourself works with you. Yourself loves you. Even if you trip out and fall out, it's because yourself thought that was what you wanted to do. I know it sounds funny, but it's true. It's like, okay, I work for you. Okay, what do you want me to do? I can't see it. Okay, gotcha. All right, can you see it now? No, I can't see it. Okay, well, then I'm successful then, right? Because you don't want to see it, right? I mean, that's what you're saying. I can't see it. Even though you were seeing it, but you didn't want to see it, so you say, I can't see it. Okay, all right. Now, are you blind enough now? They say, no, say I can't see it. Now you bring a different power. They say, okay, well, let's look over here. Let's look at a way different than the way that you were looking when you were telling yourself that you can't see it. What I'm saying is about your soul. Just think about it. I mean, you really got to ask yourself, how come I don't want to be, if it's the case, for some, but it's out of love that I'm taking this little extra minute and going this extra layer right here. You really don't love your true self as much as you think you do. Because if you love yourself as much as you think you do, you would welcome every opportunity to know how to better please yourself, realize yourself, be more accomplished. And God has given us absolutely the very thing we need, that universal soul, Now, that universal soul that's bigger than all of us, even when we're collected together, is still bigger than all of us. It has all the enlightenment you and I are looking for. It exists in that soul. Because Allah has put in that soul the knowledge of the nature of all things. Did you hear the hint? He has put in that soul the knowledge of the nature of all things. I'm going to say it one more time for the student. He has put in that soul, that universal soul, the knowledge of the nature of all things. So who is that universal soul? It's Adam. The universal soul is Adam. We all came from Adam. And we all came from Nafsun Wahida. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of you are Adam. Okay, you believe Allah, you believe the Quran, you believe the Prophet. The Prophet said, all of you are Adam. Okay, do you agree? If you agree that all of us are Adam, then that means that all of us is the knowledge of the nature of all things. And that universal soul has all of that knowledge, and that's why it says, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فَجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That universal soul knows everything you need to know is in that universal soul. Yes, yes. Everything you need to know right now is present in that universal soul. Yeah, it's there. Look, if I told you, whatever, how to make a percolator. If I said that the knowledge of that is in the Library of Congress, would you believe me? Would you believe me that how to make a percolator, the knowledge of that is in the Library of Congress? I don't think you would have any problem believing that, yeah, the knowledge of how to make a percolator is in the Library of Congress. Okay, well, this is what I just said. Anything you want to know is already known. It's in the universal soul. And you are part of that universal soul. So what is it that you want to know? Whatever you want to know, you can access it if you learn how to access that universal soul. And you don't have to become some other creature. You are already in it. You're already a part of it. That's why the next verse comes in. Because Aslaha man zakaha. The one that's successful is the one who causes it to grow. Wait a minute. You mean I can make the universal soul grow? Not in the sense that you might be thinking. But if you make your little node of that universal soul grow, you will gain greater access to what is that universal soul. But you have to grow. See, this is how it's called. I'm looking for this. How much am I seeing? I'm seeing as much as I can see through that little opening. But what happens if I open it up a little more? And what happens if I open up a little more? And I open up a little more? I start seeing what was on the periphery or was on the edges, what I couldn't see before. I want you to understand that that's how it is in the creation. We talk about consciousness. We talk about taqwa. We talk about the growth of consciousness, the growth of taqwa. And people want to spook us up about it. Don't get spooked up about it. All you're doing is just growing and accessing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made available to you. Do you understand that that universal soul is a part of the gift of God to you? Life is a blessing, but the fact that you're a part of that universal soul is a great blessing. Allah wants us to grow. La'alakum tashkurun. If you grow, maybe you'll be more grateful. So the success comes from growing. Now here's the beautiful and simple truth. The great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is among the many. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day have I perfected for you your way of life and have completed my favor on you and have preferred for you as a form of the way of life. So even though you may get this sense of me pulling my hair out trying to get this point across, understand this. Allah has given us, who are Muslim, the perfect favor. All his universal soul talk, all his individual soul talk, all his access to the knowledge of the nature of all things, blessed is he that caused it to grow. The simple, easy way of growing, the simple, easy strategy for human growth and development is Al-Islam. Al-Islam lived right. Al-Islam understood and practiced properly. You don't have to go to Guru X or Guru Y. No, I'm not mad at none of those folks. Sometimes they have a part of the story, but they make the mistake of making it presented as though it's the whole story. Brothers, just understand this. The whole story is only in Al-Islam. I'm telling you, you can find some good stories. I was listening to some today. He's talking about mesoderm, ectoderm, endoderm, body shapes and body types, and the cellular knowledge causes you to be able to drive to realize your destiny here. I mean, I can pick it apart and say, okay, well, yeah, this mom says this, this mom says that, this mom says that. But look, mister, when I boil down what you're saying to me, you're still trying to keep God out of this thing. I mean, I know what you're saying. And I see the connection that you said, and I can relate that to Sisera and all this other thing. And, you know, Pharaoh asked Moses. He said, who is this God of you two? He says, He is the one. Atahu gave everything, Khalakahu, it's from Mahada. And then after that, it's guidance. What is it saying? The Imam explains. He said, it means that the guidance is in the form. So what this guy is saying, well, yeah, the body is actually your challenges in life and everything you're facing. It's the body trying to realize its original destiny, etc. Everything we need to know is already in the body. And, you know, so it's like there's no reference and no acknowledgement of the supreme creator who created that body and gave that body the motivation and intention. So it starts sounding like the whole selfish gene thing, genetics and all the rest of that. It's like, oh, that sounds good, but y'all keep trying to keep God out of this thing. Who made this body? Who created something for us to even have an appetite? So whatever's going on, it's God's will that's going on. So you need to get back to Allah to understand that, right? So when we can understand that about the nature of this reality, about the nature of this creation, Allah has said, what he said, Iddina Samiya. These are sayings from the Prophet. The religion is simple. the religion is easy. You don't have to complicate it. The things that I'm saying so that inshallah you can have a greater and greater confidence in what you have been blessed with and a rationale that will keep you doing it even when you don't feel like doing it. When you don't feel like praying, remember that prayer is the exercise for the cultivation of your soul to the realization of this great potential to give you more access to what's in the universal soul for the benefit of your life here and now. So now I don't feel like prayer. I'm like, hell, I got to get some of that what's in the universal soul. I got a destiny. I got to grow. I mean, wait. You know, you got a garden. You got some plants that you're trying to cover. You got a fruit tree you're trying to get. You take the time to water that, don't you? You watch out for any kind of aphids or any kind of creature that undermines the potential growth for that plant. But God said he created you growing gradually from there, growing like a plant. So you have to be the gardener of your own soul. So prayer is a process that you do for the purpose of the cultivation of your own soul to cause it to grow. The cat, the same. Fasting, the same. So then you can do it for reasons of faith, but you also should understand there's a rational, scientific reason for doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. So that even when you don't feel like it, you do it. Because you know it's going to have the effect that Allah created it to have. Okay, I don't feel like exercising. But I exercise anyway. I say, okay. I mean, I don't feel like exercising. Still don't feel like exercising. I feel like, what's going on? What's going on with your muscles? Your muscles say, oh, man, that's good. Yeah. I don't feel like it. But do it anyway. That's what I'm saying. Do it anyway. For the development of your own soul. And he fails who neglects it. You can't be neglectful of the nature of your own soul. You can't be neglectful of the nature of your own soul. And truly, taqwa is about being conscious of the design that I'm trying to point out to you here and being conscious of what it takes in order for that soul to grow, what it means for that soul to grow. You're not making the universal soul bigger. You're making yourself bigger. And when you make yourself bigger, you gain greater access to the universal soul. It's not going anywhere. Whatever, as you grow, you gain more access to what's universally possible for all human beings. And those who grow more achieve more. Those who grow more receive more. Yes. So you ask yourself, look at all of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in this creation to love, to enjoy, to appreciate, to value, to have, to be. How much of it is yours? God said, don't forget your share of this material world. How much of it is yours? What are you doing to get it? It's not about just running after those things, because those things aren't what your soul really needs. They're nice to be enjoyed, but they're not the destiny of the soul. The destiny of the soul is to be pleasing to God, and before that, to be pleasing to itself. So I just have it in mind, the idea is that I need to grow so I can gain greater access to the universal soul, so that I have greater empowerment to be able to accomplish and achieve and establish more in this world for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you have, the more you are, the more you can do, the more you can serve Allah's purpose on the earth. Do you understand that you have a responsibility on the earth to make this world what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to be? That's your and my job. Think about it. Do you work for God? I mean, if you work for Allah, okay, what is he expecting you to do? What is he expecting you to do? Okay, I work for God. Okay. And how do you serve God? You need to find out how you can better serve Allah to realize the aim and object that he has for human beings on this earth. Help me identify that. Not just with what you want or what you need or what you would like to have, but something that transcends your personal need, transcends your personal interests. That's about getting over yourself. Oh, man, I can't give it. I can't get this up, man. I ain't got time for this. Yeah. You're small. You're small because the only focus you have is yourself. You got to do something for somebody else. When you do that, now you're connecting, making things bigger, including yourself. ربنا اعطينا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نعم إن شاء الله وإذا الله سعى Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi, he says we have to learn how to move from smaller circles of identity to broader circles of oneness. Smaller circles of identity to broader circles of oneness. When I talk to you about Allah, Allah's will, the laws and principles operating in creation, the creation itself, that's a kind of cosmology. Cosmology, don't let big words scare you if you consider that a big word. It's not a big deal. You need words to describe stuff. Meaning that the worldview, that is a worldview that says the nature of reality is this. There's God, there's His will, there's the laws and principles operating, and there's everything else materially seen and unseen, operating under those laws according to the will of God as He has ordered it. That's cosmology. That's worldview. That's the way, quote unquote, a perception of reality. All right. Socially speaking, here's another picture. I want you to imagine a target. A target. You know, you've been commercialized enough, just think about target. That's fine. You got target, right? So you got the red circle in the middle, you got the white one here. So we're just going to add a couple. Right? Just like a regular target, you know? In the middle circle, yourself. In the outer circle, your family. In the outer circle, on the circle outside of that, your community. On the circle outside of that, the nation. On the circle outside of that, the world. Self, family, community, nation, world. The Imam says you have to grow from smaller circles of identity to broader circles of oneness. So if this is a journey, then what we need to know is how do we move from one circle to the next? That's the point. This is the growth. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. What's growing? Yourself. Grow yourself from just yourself to a family, to a community, to a nation, to a world. How do you do that? How do you do that? Here are the basic three aspects related to that movement. It's knowledge, it's responsibility, and it's moving from enmity to empathy to embrace. First, knowledge. Knowledge is a force or an energy that makes its bearer meet and overcome obstacles, barriers, and resistance. What knowledge does, knowledge, every knowledge has a destiny. My mama, Rahman Awaleh, she talked about what a situation where her and a girlfriend, very little, they were like 10, 11 years old, whatever, shukra, thank you, 10, 11 years old. There was this donkey that they had. They had donkeys around her time. She was born in 34, so she's 10, 11 years old, so that's 44. There's plenty of donkeys around where we live in Texas. We, i.e., my people, because I wasn't around yet. In any case, so her and her girlfriend, this donkey would go to one place to another without anybody really leading it or taking it away. It'd take a load somewhere, take a load of something somewhere, and then it'd be dropped off, and then the donkey just go right on back, like a trolley. So everybody must have known everything about this donkey, apparently, but her and her little girlfriend didn't know about the donkey. So what they did, they got on the donkey, and they couldn't get the donkey to stop. They didn't know how to stop the donkey. The donkey just went on back to where the donkey was, so they couldn't even get off the donkey until the donkey got to where the donkey was going. See, the donkey knew where the donkey was going, even though they didn't. I'm trying to get you to understand, it's the same way with knowledge. Do you know what has led you to where you are right now? What you know. What you know. And it's not always a good place. Some folks know how to roll weed. Some people know how to, you know, make a black Russians. They don't know how to do that. Most of y'all don't know about that. But anyway, so what you know got you in that situation too. So if you want to go somewhere else, then you need to know something else. Knowledge, all right? Okay, so if I want to go from self to family, well, then what do I need to know? I need to know about what it means to be a family. Oh, but I'm already a family. Are you? Really? Really? Is your family acting like a family, the way the family is designed and out of love? Right? Most often, unfortunately, mashallah, is not. Why? Because of what we didn't know. Yeah, all of us can say, if I knew then what I know now, I would have done a whole lot of things a little bit differently when it comes to my family. But you didn't know. All right, so you have to acknowledge your family in order to move from yourself to family. Not just that, now you have to be able to take responsibility. I'm only going to just mention the cycle and then move on. Responsibility, that's the next element. You know, okay, get firm, solid knowledge of family. Okay, now you have to be prepared, equipped, and willing to accept the responsibility that goes with being family. A lot of people who can start family, but once family gets started, they're like, this is where I check out, boom. Why? Because family is responsibility. Family is real responsibility. And when it gets too hot, if your knowledge runs out, then you want to run out too. Why? Maybe you didn't know. Or maybe you weren't capable of accepting responsibility. I used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, oh Allah, increase my vision. Oh Allah, increase my vision. And Allah increased my vision. And I was seeing a whole lot of stuff. I said, oh, Allah, bless me to be able to handle what I see. See, you can ask for it. God said, oh, you want to see it, huh? I'll prove it. Oh, wait. Okay, wait. I still want to see, but help me handle what I see. Don't make me blind now, okay? What I'm trying to say is there's a responsibility. Haven't you heard? You're responsible for what you know? Think about it, Muslim. You've been studying. I've been studying the deen, studying the deen. Right? So, yeah. Not recognizing the responsibility that goes with what you've been eating. You know what happens. You keep eating and you ain't exercising. I'm doing pretty good, though, you know. I was in the gym this morning. Tag beer. Gotta do that. You have to exercise. You have to apply what you know, or you just become fat. Okay? So, knowledge is the third thing. So, yeah, knowledge of family, responsibility for family. Next thing, empathy to embrace. This is a trajectory that goes along with this movement. Empathy to embrace. Enmity, right? See, some people hate responsibility. That's what enmity means. Hate responsibility. Unfortunately, young people, I know the young people here don't have this problem, but unfortunately, some of us have had homes and situations where child just refused to clean up the room. It's like, clean up the room. Clean up the room. Come on. You got forks and plates and all, you know, pizza boxes. Get out of the room. Clothes just drop where you take them off. And you go on camera every day and start climbing over stuff. Clean up the room. Hate the responsibility that goes with taking care of your own space. But that can also be the case in terms of family. In terms of family, sometimes we don't care for our family members as we should. We don't say it out of our mouth, but somewhere in there, we hate them. Oh, here he come again. Who is that? That's the wife talking about the husband. Oh, here she come again. That's the husband talking about the wife, right? Oh, here he come again. That's the daughter talking about the father. Ah, oh, here she come. That's the son talking about the mama. You have to move from enmity to empathy. Empathy is a very important social skill, really. You have to learn how to feel what the other person feels. This is an important part of getting over yourself. When you can look at the other person and recognize that they are you. Listen to this. Start especially with the person that you might say you don't like. Let's start with that one. Let's just start with that one. Man, I sure hope some of them will come up to me and say nothing today. Because I ain't feeling it today. No. Let's start with that one. And say to yourself, you know what? He is me. I'm really him. I'm him. He reflects to me a part of myself that I don't like in myself. But he is me. For somebody else, I am that for somebody else. He might be that for me, but I need to know that I am that for somebody else. And I need to empathize with him and acknowledge the fact that I have my own shortcomings and imperfections. And the shortcoming and imperfection that I don't like in him is probably just signaling back to me is that you are this and you don't like that about yourself. So if you start looking at those that you don't like and those that you may look down on, and say, that's me. I'm that too. At some level, I'm that. Yes. At some level, you are that guy. You are that girl on the corner with we'll work for food. Mm. No, you are that. That's a human being. That's a part of the universal soul. That is you. In a dimension. Empathize. Why are you so great? Why are you so great? Oh, man. Go get a job. Oh, man. There you go, back. Man, them folks, they got more money than anybody else, man. Really, I bet you follow home. You got a whole lot of money there. No, listen. Listen. Say, that's me. That's me. And if you love for your brothers, this is what you love for yourself. I got a double dose this morning. So if I embrace that, then I empathize with that. And when I empathize with that, then I recognize that I could be in that same situation. I can be in that same situation. Why would I look down on that? Why would I look down on them? If I embrace them as me, I said, that's me. How many times will you deny? I would say that you would always deny when you just don't have it. You just can't do it. But what can you do? At least make dua for them, sincere dua for them, right? Empathy to empathy to embrace. And when you embrace that other person as yourself, now you become bigger. But right now, I've just talked about family, and we're going to conclude. So just do that with your family. Just do that with your family. Stop hating your son. Stop hating your daughter. Stop hating your mama. Stop hating your daddy. Stop hating your auntie. Stop hating your uncle. Recognize that they have stuff that they have to deal with. Maybe they're not as capable of dealing with stuff the way you are. Empathize with this. Empathize with them. Embrace them. I mean, really? Really don't put yourself to the test? Next opportunity you see them, embrace them. I mean, just embrace them and just hold it. If you ever been in that situation, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You ever been in that you've been separated for so long and too much for reasons that you perhaps even long forgot. And when you see each other, and when one is strong enough just to say, oh, and you just hold it, just hold it. You don't have to say nothing. More than likely, both of you be crying in a few seconds. Yeah. Do you want that? That's what you got to decide. Or do you want to go on with whatever it is you're going on with that's uneasy? It's that people are made sick by their secrets. Right? And part of what makes us sick is the stuff that we hold on to that we should let go. And you can't get over yourself and move to the next level until you do that. So imagine an individual does that, and they do that in their family. And then imagine a group of families do that, and they do that as family. Family accepts the knowledge of community, the responsibility for community, and the family moves from enmity to empathy to embrace of other families. And then when they embrace each other, now you have a community. Now imagine communities move outside of Piedmont to Brandon Park and, you know, Palo Alto or whoever, and those communities embrace each other as one unit across this state, across this nation. Now you have a national. So it's all moving to higher and higher levels. And, of course, once the nation embraces itself as a member of the community of nations, now we have a global peace. But it starts with yourself. You've got to get over yourself. So whenever you feel your ego checking in, then you need to say, okay, what is it? So what is it right now that's causing me to behave like I shouldn't have to feel this way? That's one of the ways of ego. I'm done. One of the ways of ego is like, it's angry, it's upset, it's like somebody's doing something to me to make me feel bad. They doing it to me. Get over yourself. And if that person is doing something, then you ought to be strong enough to be able to say, well, that they have that problem. And you ought to be strong enough to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, respond to evil with what is better. Allahu Akbar. And when you respond to evil with what is better, God said, it may be that he between whom and you was enmity would become, as it were, protecting friends and intimates. Allah, God, my witness, I have done it. It works. Seriously. But you have to be strong enough to do it. And God says, the only ones who are able to do this are the ones who have been blessed with a great good. Yes, it's a challenge. It's easy. Everybody be doing it. But that's what it is. So moving from enmity to enmity to embrace, when we move through that cycle, that's it. Lastly, then, the signs of the Prophet, where the Prophet said, none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother and sister what he loves for his brother, the Hadith says, loves for his brother, but we know that includes male and female, but he loves for himself. You have to learn how to see your brother as yourself. A Muslim is the mirror of his brother. Can you really do that? Can you really look at your brother with his shortcomings and your shortcomings and still see, that's me? And allow your heart, allow your spirit not to go to a place that's negative. That's me. No, I don't like that way of being. I am not that way of being. But you know what? I'm not going to move into a whole negative, hateful, spiteful, vengeful mode because that's not where I'm at. That's not where I want to be. So people have shortcomings. People have shortcomings. You have shortcomings. All of us have shortcomings. So that's why Allah rewards us. And the Prophet tells us that we are so rewarded for overlooking the faults of our brothers. I know that we challenge each other, man. Some people just taking this as a license. Let me see how many people really listen to what he said. So they want to get on your last nerve today, right? But alhamdulillah, you know, it's all you still have to keep going. So mashallah, this is what we say is important. So the growth is from small individual to the extent of the universal human soul, brother and sister. And it's done through your personal, social, and emotional development. If we do that, if we obey Allah and his messenger in those particular things, you don't even have to know the science. Just know the Hadith and live it. Surely the best among you is the one who gives the greeting first. Do you always wait for somebody to give you the greetings, or do you offer the greetings first? You act like you see the person, or you act like you don't see the person. You know, and the Prophet said the greeting is not complete unless you shake hands. Right. Practice Islam. And that bond between the individual and the universal soul will grow among those people who practice that. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. والحمد لله رب العالمين. Brothers and sisters, let's go and close out. The Shahadatain Institute is in its 16th semester, and the course is 7 to 9 every Friday night. Daya, when's the graduation going to be for this semester? Okay. Well, it's basically like 13 weeks from now. Something on that order. In case, the reason I'm asking that also is, you know, we have some very, very wonderful, beautiful things that have been taking place, continue to take place. And I was wondering if Shahadatain was going to be like in August, because this month, alhamdulillah, we have the Halal Food Festival, Great Success, alhamdulillah. Next month, May, we have Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, who's going to be our guest over the Mother's Day weekend and the Mother's Day brunch, themed under Rivers to Wombs That Bore You. That's going to be from the 10th to the 12th. And then also, so that's May. And in June, we have the Health and Wellness. What's going to be happening again? Oh, it's going to be Robert's Park. Alhamdulillah, yeah, that's old school. So Robert's Park in June, and then Imam Salim Mukmin is going to be our guest in July, as you know, Ramadan is going to be coming in July. He's going to be our guest for the last 4 days of the i'tikaf, and he will also be the khatib for Eid al-Fitr, inshallah. So that's July, and I'm thinking that maybe the Shahadatain Institute graduation may be in August. So, alhamdulillah, very, very wonderful, important activities taking place. We need your continued participation so that we all can grow into that ummah that Allah intends. It's not only and ever always about the money. It's about the social connection. It's about the growth, the netting of us together as a body so that we can be greater empowered to do what Allah has commissioned us to do. We have a world that we're supposed to change, and these little activities are designed to do just that. Okay, so what's also happening next month is Masjid Waratheen is sponsoring a monthly yard sale every first Saturday. It starts on May 5th and going to be going through October 5th, and that's going to be from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. All interested vendors can pick up an application at either the Cat Table or from New Africa Kitchen. Let's change your rags to riches. There's a whole khutbah behind that. We won't go into it. But let it be understood. I went to my closet yesterday. I got tired of trying to pull a suit out. Just so clogged up. I went to the left side, which side is kind of like Continental Drift stuff. All the older stuff is to the left, right? So I just grabbed about a foot of it, just pulled it out. I looked at it as I was going. And I took it straight on out to the garage. Boom, that's just, look, I ain't seen it. I'm not look at it. Now I got space where I would take a suit to the cleaners, put it in the closet, wrinkled all over again because you had to mash it all up into that, right? I got some thobes in my trunk, too. I got some OG thobes from when I was in old car. I'm selling those, boy, I'm serious. But they'll be out there on the fifth, so if you want to get on like that now, it's not, you know, you got to see me about 20 pounds earlier, you know what I'm saying? So think about yourself. Think about how I tell you. Look, I didn't buy no bunk. I got some real serious stuff. But I'm not on that right now. But if you on that, you're going to be shocked. In any case, so, all right, so what I'm saying is that you can change your rags into riches. All right? We want ways to generate money also, the social connection, the economic side of it. So that's May 5th. And inshallah, I might be talking out of school, but, you know, Abdul Rashid, we're looking for these barbecue pits. We're going to have these barbecue pits May. Abdul Rashid Ali, B.B. King, you're going to be throwing on that barbecue this summer. And so we're going to be having yard sales, barbecue, and the like. Now, where you find some good barbecue around here? From a place your soul can trust. It's going to be right here, inshallah. So that's coming. So get with it. Praise be to Allah. So thank you so much for your patience, brother and sister. Alhamdulillah. Latif, am I forgetting anything critical? It's the fourth. So the recycling, what are we talking about? Oh, the recycling, yeah. The recycling, I meant to bring my jar I was gonna shake it, show you on here. I got a jar about this tall, about 3/4 full. This was the day we were supposed to turn it. I'm sorry, mashallah, no, many of you perhaps didn't. But I think it's probably at least about $40-$50 in there. So continue to collect your change. I'm gonna cash mine and I'll tell you what it is. Those of you who have done so, then be latifa about that. One more time. Collected by, you can get collected by from him. And the one, that's what I'm saying, in terms of reciting. Have you looked in the back there to see what's in there? Carlos? Is it full? Is it ready to go? Just about ready to go? Okay. Yeah. And in fact, we have this day that we'll start cashing them in. But I think that what you all can do, because maybe a month is too long to just keep asking, just bring them every week. Just bring them every week. When you come to Juma, just bring every week, and we'll make sure we'll get them packed up, stacked up, and put away. I think a month is too long to just keep asking people to collect it in. So, mashallah. So let's do that so we can cash that in. I think we have something on the order of $2,000 towards our $4,300 monthly mortgage obligations. So, mashallah, your zakat is always needed. And, of course, utilities just never stop. So, mashallah, may Allah bless you to make that move for the benefit of your own self and community. Wa alaikum as-salam.
Allahu
Akbar,
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. الحمد لله. تقبل. الله أكبر، الله أكبر.
Hey, what's up, Alhamdulillah? How's it going?
You can't remember me.
You can, sir?
I'm Kadir Muhammad.
Kadir?
Yeah, I used to live here. I just sang with the Oakland Muslim Ensemble with Sister Brother Todd.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
How long has that been?
30 years.
All right.
Yeah.
Kadir, you're looking good.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we'll do now.
University of Washington.
Alhamdulillah. What can I say? I'm sorry. The spirit is all there, man. Keep looking good, man.
Thank you, sir.
Good. You got to take good deal with you. Yeah. How's
that, man?
Shukran. Ramadan. You good?
I'm going to tell you that I came up on the D-line.
Okay.
Stayed out for a long time.
Yeah, but you're here now.
But I kept Islam.
Allah Akbar.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah continue to keep you to the east. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Assalamualaikum.